Sometimes I feel like I truly belong somewhere else, somewhere good. Now you know if I was somebody else, I could be good. Doing something half decent, or even semi-good. But no, I'm hanging out with my friend instead. He says my confused sense of identity and disorientated state could be because I was abducted by aliens as a child. Ever since my whole system has been in complete lockdown, trying to suppress the horrendous memory of the horrendous probing. He could be right, but then again, he also says I might in fact really be a woman trapped in the body of a man, and I should make my way right now to Bangkok and give me some cup-priced gender reconstruction surgery. But that would only be surface chin. I'd still be the same. Self-centered, narcissistic son of a bitch. Except I would have fancy designer labia dangling nonchalantly from my brand new vagina. An answer to Phoebe, Trixie, Belle, Moon, Shadow, Kitty Cat. Which would be very traumatic for my children. Instead of calling me Lango, they'd have to call me Twat. Mommy! Is there something wrong with Dandad? Yes. Is he alright? No, he never was. My friend says, I could kill the pain of reality if I took Laurie Oates drugs. Or went back drinking full time again, or take up sex addiction, masturbating furiously like a demented, out of control, exhibitionistic chimpanzee, 16, 17 times a day, in public, on the loose, without a sock. My friend says the guard, he don't take him kindly to that sort of thing. But he should know, he used to be a guard. Before he was dismissed from the force, after being arrested for the umpteenth time, on wearing only his gala cap and absolutely not nuts. Not even a sock. My friend takes way too many drugs, strong drugs, not soft drugs, hard drugs, street drugs, legal drugs, if you're a horse. My friend thinks he is a horse, which is ridiculous. He only has one leg. He's always very cheerful. I've never seen him once with a long face. He says ordinary people would pay good money to see a one-legged horse. I'm sure I would. So would I. I'd pay very, very good money to see a one-legged horse race. I know. It would be a guaranteed far long after experience. My friend says maybe I am an alien, but I don't know. And I'm just waiting for the spaceship to take me back home. If I was an alien abducting children, I wouldn't probe them. I'd sit down on the floor beside them and I'd take them like I do with my matches. Who think I'm Grey Cratchit? Unlike my children, who think I'm seriously cracked. They could be right! Sometimes I feel like I truly belong somewhere else. Somewhere gone. But no.
Yeah. on that.
Good evening. This is a slightly older poem called Tribal Traits. Heat haze shimmer hidden above cloud-clothed peaks. A plateau between two ranges not visible from the shore. The exhibition climbs to see what no Caucasian seen before, a lost tribe living. Simple social studies for one that seeks. Fertile fields and far-off forests fill vistas of the horizon new. Gasping at marvels and sights more never found than lost. Wiry figures caked in mud, skins and morning's dew, prod and poke from not too close, avoiding unknown cost. Crowds emerge from baked brick rush-roofed huts, curious, keeping back, chattering as an elder moves forward to touch the spectres, things without name. He calls a jarring throaty hack, all swarm forward, eager, curious inspectors. Different beats, rhythms, staccato starts and stops, nature trained and understood, a need to find a name for things entirely new, undreamt of and unseen. Gods, ghosts, spirits of the mountains, the waters of the wood. Call them boiled pink, tall wraps, staccato shouts from gods to the obscene. Eat, they do. Floppy flesh, sweat sheened, sleep hog noises, a pale party us. Cold heavy wood poles, barking, making fire and holes darken sun's power, till someone brave followed one out of sight, watching without fuss, hairy white jelly. Similar sounds and streams ran back to amused cuss. Not like us be they in colour. Their shit smells just like ours. Thank you.
Larry O'Connor.
This is about a poet, but I have cast him in the role of the guy, Theseus, the guy who slew the Minotaur. It's called A Twist of Fate. Your voice, urbane, almost effete, held no hint of what we would become as you carried out your duty in the well-established mould. But the love that teased out Ariadne's thread drew your muse to guide you slowly down to twisted places in your secret self, seeding your dream time with distress, waking the lurking creature we all shun. Fearless you struck and grasped the thrashing horns, the dark beast fell and inner brightness blazed, a new beginning for a bitter end. Glad to leave the sickening stench of blood, you pulled yourself back to daylight, awake and reeling in your newfound power. Leaving the Cretan shore, you cross the sea again, no icy water now. You plunge into new life and know hard, savage joy.
Thank you.
there was a thieving.
Yes,
yes. Just, I suppose, sometimes we go on strike. I usually don't go on strike, so I wrote this. It's called Impact. Waiting in the land of in-between, no love to intervene, no peace commissioned, no heart-ease remission, just sitting on the fence, with no attack and no defence. Stalemating checkmates, intimidating dissociates. Plant of silent arrows, odds of silent hallows. No wars of attrition, no act of contrition. Just release the pain of love lost, not gained. We started on the following reason.
In the future meeting time, so I put this out. It's about two guys I saw sitting in wheelchairs, you know, to visit somebody in hospital one time, and they were just sitting there watching, like two guys in a spaghetti western. It was mid morning. I said, supposing it was 12 noon, and it's published in this Lone Stars, which has two lovely staples. That's as much as I'd say about that. This is called High Noon. Cocooned in a gown of dragons, staring, he sits in the hallway, right thumb on wheel rim, Marconi fading away from the remote day room TV. The other one, cumbersome, dissecting his cardigan, a sandaled foot on each wrist, waft of brown soda, pungent and poignant as cordite. Unaware of the danger, a patron at peace with the world, plods between the parked chairs, puckers his lips, pockets a tissue of teeth. The kaleidoscopic wall hanging, the stained slash of sunlight, selfish, sacred and silent, unblinking, they face one another. Who'll draw that first speed? 20 chrome ribs apart, Derringers still trousered. A clumsy bedpan bongs, clear as an angelus bell, two right hands lift as one. James Cowell.
Cephalophoria. I can't remember what cephalophoria means, but it's actually kind of made up word, but a cephalophore is a headless saint, but can more generally just be any kind of a headless person. Cut my head off with a guillotine, like the bad king that squandered all his power and disappointed all that believed in him. Cut my head off with a large clean sword and kick it as far as you can over the horizon to see all the people swirling past in god vision and futures all of time that lie before me, super solar foresight cured me all of worry. Cut my head off with a chainsaw, and maybe I won't spend quite so much time online. Cut my head off with a few swipes of an axe, so you can scoop out my thoughts directly and do with them as you wish. Cut my head off slowly with a fine loop of wire, so that as the tighter metal loosens my neck and my feet run upon the air below, I might finally have something to complain about. Cut my head off, slice by slice, the hair, the scalp, the skin, the bone, the brain, the eyes, the ears, the nose, teeth, tongue, chin, line by line in pages like CT scans, all floating out the window, loose leaves, carried in scattering spirals like a cloud, far and wide along the parade. Cut my head off with a stream of machine gun fire as I lie wide-eyed in bed so that I may sleep at last and then no more. Cut my head off with a broken bottle as I wade into the water on a grey dingle morning and let my red soul flow free around me until the clear corona loops through the surf along the shore as I fall away. Cut my head off with your teeth so I can suck my own cock and never fear that I may speak again or seek out any signal of desire, and sit still and simply in darkness and silence while the world spins on. Cut my head off with a well-placed slap to silence all these sudden thoughts, these endless, random, ruined visions, awful actions in my mind like vile voices, damnable, desireless impulses of lechery, thoughts of carnal destruction of the innocent and torturous distortions of love, visions of shit and filth and blood and every law and code and creed and commandment, merely a cascade of questions, what-ifs that make sadistic objectives of people and corrupt most severely those closest to me. And cut my head off to stop these thoughts of cutting off my head. Cut my head off with a cage of rats so that I don't have to witness the end of the world. Cut my head off with a single grenade so I don't have to listen to your wretched excuses for the end of the world. Cut my head off with a weapons-grade laser so I don't have to listen to my wretched excuses for the end of the world. Cut my head off with oversized pliers. Maybe that's David Fincher. Let me tear my sullen skull from its post, take it in one hand and extend my arm as I stand on a black mountain top. These bloodless, multicolored, ductile strands stretching brightly from my neck and snapping slackly like putty and elastic. I hold it up and point its face to mine. Looking down aloft in a red sky, at last my final impossible judge. So finally look myself in the eye.
I was wondering there, what's the best way to get a title for a poem? And I decided the best thing to do is steal it. So I stole the title for this poem. My hands up for that. My daughter was reading a piece in Fish Matching. It was called Thoughts in a Maid Garden. So I just liked the title, so I decided to take it, and I thought it suited this poem, and I truncated it a little, so this poem is called In a May Garden.
Bees!
In a May Garden. I catch a reflection in the patio window while watering grass. My father staring back at me, hose in hand. Well, who did you expect? Is your mother? I go on watering. The shirt hangs loose and crumpled over his belt, just as he was when I was 12. His baby face looks up at me and takes me in. I smile and he smiles back. You're not as trim as I thought you'd be, and almost as bald as me. Not quite, I say. Quite, he is still as quite as thin. Remember Don Goldcup, you haven't talked to them. Quite a new, I suppose. Yeah, I was quiet too. He turns to splatter the geraniums, nasturtiums and gladioli. I follow. He says, the pressure's useless. No, it is the hose. I bought the cheap one. Well, that's no surprise, he laughs. You must be well proud. You've achieved a lot. No more than you, less. 3 kids to your 5. Ah, kids, that's what it's all about. I see his great big boisterous head pulling up weeds along the edge. You made a nice job at that patio. The wife I call back. She drives to work. Does any heat change? Still hold bad to be out gardening in the summer. Do you put much into it? Only a shadow of what you did. Still you have more time now to work and all that? I don't respond, but peek another look at him discreetly down on his knees, plucking awkwardly the border. His stubby fingers, the hose head soaking his pants. The hand's the finest hole, he says. Maybe if I'd realised that's how he'd turn out, I could have planned. You never taught me smart, he says he, as if he hears me think. Now that's not fair, I retort, facing him down through triple glaze. And look, you were right. I turn my back and move off to the veg, sprinkling the carrots copiously. The strain's gone off the hose. Walking back later, I see him just once more, smiling to himself in slanting sunlight, a happy thinker. I have to go now, I say, turning away. Go on, says he. I'm finishing up myself anyway. Tell him Scully sent ya.
Thank you, John. It's called Stare. Stare, creeping through the curtains. Your dark light commits a crime against my sleeping person. Sleeping through the comforts of the morning. His heart is a fluorescent, forsaking all friendships save yours. While I've sinned against yet sinning, I flutter and worship to my denies. A distant pinpoint in the black that for now can't overwhelm my fortune, my vision, my psyche.
So this poem is about photographic negatives. They're not around anymore since the digital camera took over, but if you remember them, you just kept them when you printed out photographs. Okay, so, negatives. Precise. Four frames in a row. Neat. Protected by a transparent sheet. To be held only the edges to view. Smudge this and you smudge yourself too. Faces are vacant, hollow. It's the norm. Each detail well preserved, but unclear in this form. What's light is dark, and dark is light. The sunny day is a distant night. These are unfiltered, uncut, unseen. Memories quashed, cold, or mean. And I know that it's not good to look at life this way, cataloguing errors, turning blue skies grey. So I open up the album for the glossy chosen few, selected, not the whole truth, just a kinder view.
Our five art champion, Rab Urquhart.
I really think when you're introducing people, you should use their full name.
Sir Rab Urquhart.
My name is actually Urquhart, not Urquhart. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, and myself and Rosie and John's recently entered the chart to be the number one MC for of Ale, you know. It's a kind of like black market book, but Rosie and I are becoming favourites, but John's kind of creeping in, so we're just slapping him down every now and again. So he knows this place, you know. Anyway, seen from the hills, old Auchenstein, field of the standing stone. He knocked the stone, said the grey wolf witch. With 20 of the faithful, that young new priest had it thrown in the ditch. That same young priest who called me out in the church and the people, they shunned me, they wouldn't buy my healing herbs. And the old stone recumbent in the ditch where it lay called out its own hymn, and it was on the Wednesday forenoon after the fair when the young priest on horseback came cantering there. His white mare, she shied him and he tumbled down. With a sharp crack as his neck broke, that priest met his doom. Then the people called to me to barter and trade, and 20 of the faithful put the stone back in its place.
Sue. Sue, if you're not up here in a second, Joe gets to read the story.
There's no time, anyway.
Right. This space short, it's not very bad. It's called the River's Bend. That's because I've always lived at the River's Bend. Let me beneath the surface linger, my bones seeping marrow to the deep. Let fish lap this thick trickle, both sweet and bitter. Shine your desiccated light on my upward thrusting knees. You wish to know me? Go on then. Come closer. Don't be startled. These are the twigs of my once soft fingers, caressing the fullness of your chin. Bend your ear to the lapping wavelets. Do. I'll tell you a secret. There's no such thing as years lost, years buried, only burning years. Only yearning ones. Why else would I be here in the deep but to quench their hungry leap? See here, touch. Place your dead fish hand where my strenuous once held heart got apart. Feel the heat, meat, and see there above the bend a pyre of bones burning with unseemly delight. Old books with broken spines,
marriage vows, pink ballet slippers, casual remarks that sting. Intentions, both good and bad, your malt of cocktail of bitterness and bewilderment. My only surviving fine planet's rules clinging to the burning pyre. How they crackle and smolder streaming, cherished dreams, this naked sky where nothing remains hidden. I sinned when I mistook the weather vane of my heart for true love, the wind up to his tricks again. But that was then. Now the tip of my tongue silvers the current, guiding me away from the bend. I see you yawn. Bored? Already? Why am I surprised? You could never abide revelations. I see you turn away, nose crinkling in distaste. The air is pregnant here with all things forfeited, the soil guilt-soaked. My new flesh is water-hue. Sinews silk smooth just as strong. Time to bid the shore farewell. The river bend shall confine me no more. In the heart of the current, the flow is strong. With sure strokes I swim to where meandering river meets the vast ocean. Thank you.